Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. By the way, the great article in the Boston Herald by our own Tim Dunn on the state budget and the fact that the local aid is diminishing. In fact, read the article at bostonherald.com. It's a very inexpensive subscription to the Boston Herald. You can pick it up the paper copy tomorrow. But in fact, Tim Dunn quotes John Mitchell as a New Bedford Democrat mayor. John Mitchell criticizes Beacon Hill for turning a blind eye to the Commonwealth's 351 municipalities. Quote, last year, we received the same amount of funding as we did in 2008. New Bedford Mayor John Mitchell told local talk show host Chris McCarthy during a Thursday interview on WBSM radio. If your income, your salary hasn't changed since 2008, you may have to have a hard time paying your bills. It's the same thing for our city. There has to be, in Boston, on Beacon Hill, a real adult discussion on state aid and what the state obligation is. There is no formula in place. End of quote. That's in the Boston Herald this morning, online, bostonherald.com, quoting the mayor of New Bedford here on the program. And Mark Sylvia, state representative from Marion and Mattapoisett and Fairhaven and Acushnet, part of New Bedford, a gerrymandered district, although he didn't create it. He inherited it. He had to come down to the Board of Selectmen and the Finance Committee here in Fairhaven and explain to them. This is before the budget. I mean, it's kind of hard to blame Mark in the sense that he just takes orders from the Speaker. Which I guess you could blame him for, but he had to explain to the local municipal officials that there wasn't going to be any more local aid. But there was no manna from heaven. State resources were not coming back to the town of Fairhaven, therefore not to Mattapoisett and Marion and certainly the city of New Bedford. But he will run unopposed, primarily because a local Republican Party couldn't field a candidate. I mean, it's pretty outrageous that they couldn't field a candidate to run against Mark Sylvia. But yet we did. They did find a candidate, not we. They did find a candidate to run against Mark Montigny, the only Democrat up there uncovering the corruption going on out on the turnpike, that major billion-dollar case of corruption. That was Senator Montigny. He's one of the only Democrats to vote against increased taxes, gas tax, to vote against more additional migrant funding at the Healy hotels. Yet that's the candidate. That's the one the Republican campaigns around here found an opponent for. They found an opponent for Mark Montigny, who's got $1 million in the bank, but they couldn't find a candidate to run against Mark Sylvia. That's called being inept. Totally being inept. 508-996-0500. But, hey, listen, maybe Mark Sylvia deserves a free ride. If I was in better shape, you know, physically, had all my working organs, I would run. I might have to take a leave. I would have to take a leave here. But it's a $100,000 job, part-time job, with a pension behind it. Now, here's the thing. There will be, you could do a write-in campaign to get on the ballot in September, right? You start running now and try to be a write-in candidate on the Republican ballot, which is what Christopher Thrasher did a couple of years ago to get on the ballot in Westport. And Christopher Thrasher is running again. We're going to have a primary in Westport. Christopher Thrasher is running for state representative against Jesse St. Gelais. It's an odd district. It's Westport, Freetown, Acushnet, part of the North End. Those two are going to go in the Republican primary. Last time around, Christopher Thrasher won the primary on a write-in campaign. and then just lost the general election. So now Jesse Sanchez has become a Republican, and he's running for the primary nomination. Christopher Thrasher is running. It's going to be very interesting. So open phones, if it's on your mind, I want to hear about it. We've never really had a post-mortem on the mayor's appearance. He normally comes in at 11 on a Wednesday. He was here at 9 o'clock this morning. So if you have a commentary on what the mayor had to say, he made a lot of news here. So there's a lot to talk about. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, my friend. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm all right. I'm hanging in there. I want to call in to talk about, again, Sean Oliver.
Sure.
I really think people in this area, whether they're Democrat or Republican or unenrolled as I am, should vote for Sean. Yep. And I'm also going to vote for Short Sleeve, too.
Okay.
Because he got Sean to get interested in this, I would think.
Yes, he did.
And endorsed him as his running mate.
He selected
him. So that shows a respect for the people of this area. I'm sick and tired of the political elites, wherever they may be, telling us what we should do and where how we should vote. And again, at least Short Sleeve's acknowledgement of the importance of this area by having Sean Oliver run, I think, is an important thing to acknowledge. So when I get in that booth, I'm going to vote for Short Sleeve and Oliver.
Listen, I think that's a great plan. I think that's exactly what the Short Sleeve Oliver team is thinking. That because this area has been trending Republican primary voters.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that you're in tune with exactly what they're thinking and why they pick Sean. I think that's 100%
yes.
Right.
Yes, and again, I hope people in this area take this as an opportunity to show people that, hey, we're here down here, and we matter, okay? Whether it's me or you or John Mitchell or Scott Lang or whoever, we're all on the same bowl, so
yes,
to speak.
We are.
We might disagree on certain things, but again, we're important down here, and it's time they pay attention to us. I was a little disappointed with the older gentleman who I agree with a lot of times calling up and saying they ought to throw it in. No, don't let the elites tell you what to do. Go there and vote for the local candidate who's willing to work and go out there and the man who endorsed him as well. What say you,
Mike? I think that I understand that thinking exactly. I think that is exactly what Brian Shortsleeve and his team around him were thinking when they selected Sean. I know they were looking around at other people in Bristol County, settled on Sean. And Sean's got all the energy in the world. So
yes, he does. I've seen him on the TV at city council and everything, and he's up for it. And again, it would be an acknowledgement of, hey, we're down here, and we matter. And even in the future, if they see a large turnout down here for this, it might make Boston think a little twice about how they treat us down here, if we show that we come out to vote when we can.
Yeah, I'm in the article.
Did you see this?
I did see it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, my friend.
Hey, thank you so much for the call. I do appreciate it. The story on the Boston Herald is a good one to catch. Good one to catch. Go to bostonherald.com by Tim Dunn, who's regularly in here with me, and with Barry, who's just came in to show me a story. Look, I think that Brian and Sean, if they've got the donors, it's funny, I was talking with somebody who local business person. And they said, hey, if Sean and Brian have the donors to continue funding the campaign, why shouldn't they continue? Now, at some point, you got to make a determination whether it's just for you and the ego, or whether you really can overtake Mike Minogue for the primary, for the nomination of the party. And I don't think you can know right away. I really don't. I think you got to give it a little time. Unfortunately, I don't know how much time you got to give it. But seems like they've evaluated it to the degree that you can at this point in the race. Sean yesterday declared on to September, meaning I'm running to get the nomination. And Brian Shortsleeve was here the day before. He said the same thing. We're running for the nomination. Now, Mike Minogue has significant supporters down here. Let's talk about it. He's got Tom Hodgson, And Tom Hodgson swings a major club. He does. Tom carries major weight throughout the state, but particularly down here. The tour he put together for Mike Minogue with all the business community throughout southeastern Massachusetts. Ton of Prince Henry guys there. Tom Hodgson is all in with Mike Minogue. And his wife is all in with Mike Minogue. They are serious players. Not just in politics, but socially, charitably. As is Jimmy DeMello. Jimmy DeMello, I mean, there's a reason that the Heart Center at Charlton Memorial Hospital is named after his mother. It's because he gave him millions of dollars, okay? Jimmy DeMello. Jimmy DeMello is a major force in business and charitable contributions here and throughout the region. And Jimmy DeMello has been all in on Mike Minogue since the first day he met him, which was last summer. And I can appreciate Brian Schulze wanting to be governor. Certainly can appreciate Sean Oliver wanting to be lieutenant governor. But some of these arrangements, support agreements, were made way before the convention, way before Sean got involved in statewide politics. And you can't unwind certain agreements. It's just the way, not that anybody wants to, but you just can't anyway. And that's just the reality of it. Sean's a late entry to the race, which makes it so remarkable how well he's doing. But he was a late entry. And arrangements had been made long before he tried to get on the ticket. And I think he understands that. It doesn't really matter if he doesn't, but that's just the way it is. 508-996-0500. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Howdy.
Hey, howdy. How are you?
I don't know why I said that, but I felt like saying howdy. I'm okay. You know, I'm okay. Just going through some stuff, but I'm okay. Breathing, doing good. I'm so happy you're doing well and things are moving forward for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, pretty exciting. So I just want to say, I agree with the gentleman caller that just called in, which say you, me, and I love to call him that.
Yeah.
And I know he listened to Jimmy when Jimmy, he was referring to Jimmy's comment about Sean just, you know, throwing the towel in. And I say no, because never say never. I don't care what it looks like right now. I am still voting for short sleeve, and I am definitely voting for Mr. Oliver.
Yep.
I'm staying with that ticket. Nothing's going to change my mind at all. Nothing. If they don't come up and then it's Montigny, then okay, so be it. As long as it's somebody, I mean, I just want to see a Republican take over more Hilly, and I really want to see a Republican back as a governor. I like Charlie Baker. Nobody liked him. I thought he handled the
COVID. I like Charlie Baker too.
I like Charlie Baker
a lot. It's kind of interesting because I see a lot of people out there now. I wonder where they were when we were slugging away for Charlie Baker. He ran three times. I was there every time for Charlie.
He worked well with everybody.
Of course
too,
he did, yeah.
I felt like. But, you know, Chris, so that's it. Nothing's going to waver me from that. And I am going to get in touch with Sean. I miss a lot of things. I was kind of invited to go to things, but because of all kinds of stuff I've been going through.
Sure. I understand.
But I am going to reach out to him. I am going to vote in the primaries. I am an independent voter, and that's what they want, the independent voter to come out, because yep. I hope I'll be one of those people that'll break the tie. But I'm going to vote early. But I also want to contact them. I want them to tell me who they're going to get along with, because that's how I vote. I want to know, like, even for Leo, Chouquette, the ward counselor here in Ward 1, I wanted to know who else should I vote for, because I want to know who you're going to get along with. And that's how I like to do my votes. When I really believe in a certain individual and I believe everything, I know, like, there's always going to be that one thing that isn't going to come to fruition, because that's politics.
Right.
But you want to believe, for the most part, everything they're saying they are going to do. And I believe Mr. Shortsleeve is, from day one, going to handle this electric bill, the billing. which is just tax. So, but I want to know who he thinks he'll get along with. And then that's who I want to vote.
I
want to keep it all in line.
Sean gives his phone number out regularly. You know, you probably have his phone number. So you can call him and talk to him. Sean is driving all over the state now. He's got a lot of time in the car. He can talk to people.
Well, I don't know. They say, though, you got to concentrate. But no, I will. I definitely want to know exactly who and what they want, because I want it to be a powerhouse. That's what I want. I want a powerhouse team in there. And like I say, if it doesn't come to fruition, it's okay. It doesn't mean not try again. I hope he does try again. And I feel like he can do both. I think he could work his ward, and I think he could still be lieutenant governor. And if it comes where he is a governor, then obviously it might change. But I'm not going to change my mind. Nothing's going to sway me. It's short sleeve, Oliver, all the way.
I like that enthusiasm. Thanks, Getty. She brings up Leo Choquette. This was Leo's first Republican convention. He switched over to the party. Well, as did Sean and a number of people. Jesse St. Gelais is a recent convert to the Republican Party last couple of years. Sean Olive is a recent convert to the Republican Party. Many people are recent converts to the Republican Party. And Leo, this was his first convention. He ended up voting for Mike Minogue for governor and Sean Oliver for lieutenant governor. I know that some people around Mike Minogue arranged for Leo Choquette to get a one-on-one phone call with Mike Minogue, the likely next governor, and talk about issues that were important to his ward that maybe the governor would be able to work with him on. So by voting for Mike Minogue at the convention, Leo got a private phone call before he voted with Mike Minogue to talk about the city of New Bedford and Ward 1. So that was pretty smart for the people around Mike Minogue and close to Leo to arrange that phone call. And same thing with Jesse St. Gelais. He voted for Mike Minogue and Sean Oliver, and himself had a nice private phone call with Mike Minogue. So if you're active in the party, if you're active in politics and you're smart enough to play your hand for your constituents and future constituents, you can get a lot done. You can get a lot done. So my feeling is on to September, right? And if Sean has the resources and Brian has the resources, there's no reason for them to drop out right away just because they barely got through the convention at 15%. That's the minimum. That's all that matters. Doesn't matter if you got 70% of the vote or if you got 16 or 17% of the vote. As long as you made the ballot and you got the signatures, it's on to September. On to September. All right, we'll take a break and then we'll be right back.
It's time to make the money talk for $5,000 Thursday. 668. 668. Enter it right now at WBSM.com or on the WBSM app for your chance to make the money talk on WBSM.
This portion of programming on WBSM is brought to you by Dee's Hot Dogs in New Bedford, where you can get two hot dogs, chips, and a soda for just $6.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. You're the audience. Kind of talking about the primary of the Republican side. There's going to be a lot of action, certainly going to be a lot of action. And then it'll all come to an abrupt end at one point when it gets consolidated. There are a lot of people in the Republican Party that are looking for unity. There was a big rally up on the North Shore, a unity rally, trying to consolidate everybody behind the winner. I don't know if that's necessary yet. At some point, it'll become obvious. It'll become obvious if consolidation is necessary or not. But for the time being, look, I don't really mind primaries. I don't. Because they're talking to the same people who are going to be voting. So if Brian Shortsleeve is out there banging away at Healey and saying, I'm the guy that can beat her, and Sean Oliver's out there saying, he's going to go with Brian and they're going to work together as a team and they're going to be stronger than Healey and Driscoll in November. That's what the Republicans want. But at the same time, they're whacking away at Healey and Driscoll, pointing out all the things they've done to force this businessman and this city councilor into the race. And they just say, hey, we're going to be better than Minogue and Brensley. To the degree that they compare themselves to Healey Driscoll as opposed to Minogue Brensley, I don't think that's a downside. Same thing with Mike Minogue and Ann Brensley. To the degree that they say, hey, we won the convention, we think we can bring the message and bring a stronger fight to Healey Driscoll, to you, the Massachusetts voters, I think that's better. Communicating more with the voters is better for everybody. That's why I don't believe in campaign finance limits, things like that. To me, the more money, the better. The more communication, the better to the voters and back from the voters to the candidates, the better. So I think, provided everybody understands that after the September primary, they're all in it together, and it's all about Healey Driscoll, because Healey Driscoll have lost total confidence in most people, except for the most hardcore party apparatcha, right? The party apparatus and the individuals that make it up. Those are the only people, for, as Lenny Mills pointed out yesterday, for their own private personal gain, they're the only ones with any confidence in Driscoll anymore. They're the only ones with confidence in Driscoll anymore. But good primary season. It's good for the radio station, which is good for me. And good for you, the listeners, to make the most informed choice when you really have the choice in September. 508-996-0500. There's a whole lot of stuff going on. The state budget was passed. Among the things in the state budget are more lawyers for illegal aliens. Thanks to New Bedford Light, we've learned all about that, okay? I remember, because I'm involved in getting some of the updates from the activist groups outside of the New Bedford Light that are advising primarily the Democrats how to help the illegal aliens. And interestingly, these same nonprofits are also the beneficiary of the largesse of the taxpayers. So the New Bedford Light had a very interesting story on illegal aliens getting lawyers to fight their deportation in their criminal cases in the federal courts, the most expensive courts to practice in, paid for not by the federal government, you understand. Those days are over. No, paid for by the Massachusetts taxpayers. So as the mayor sits here and talks about the lack of local aid, and you say, what happened to all that money? I pay my taxes every year. It's a reasonable 5%. I pay my sales tax. It's a reasonable 5.56%. I pay all that. Where's all the money going? Well, thank you, New Bedford Light, for explaining to us. Here we go.
legal aid program helps immigrants in immigration court. By Kevin G. Andrade. SOUTHBORUGH Alma Cothias came to the Masa Viana Law Office around 8:45 a.m., just as she does most mornings, right after dropping her children off at school. She made her coffee, sat down at her desk, put on some electronic dance music, and started some administrative tasks to ease into the day. Cothias said she was going to need it with her 32 clients, a number she was sure would grow. "All my clients are in removal proceedings," she said. "In May I'm going to have an immigration court hearing every week." Cothias is among 24 attorneys providing free legal aid to immigrants, thanks to a new $5 million program funded by Massachusetts state government. The Massachusetts Access to Counsel Initiative, MACI, launched at the end of 2025 to ensure in-state immigrants have legal representation in their removal proceedings. The state legislature created the program in response to the federal government's mass deportation campaign, which included the detention of over 390,000 immigrants in its first year. "We know that there is so much need for legal services for immigrants right now," said Elizabeth Sweet, executive director of the Massachusetts Immigrant and Refugee Advocacy Coalition, MIRA, the nonprofit that manages the program. "For so many immigrants going into immigration court right now, the stakes feel incredibly high. The root of the need is found in current practice. Immigration matters are considered civil matters, not criminal. So, though a person in removal proceedings has a right to an attorney, one will not be provided at government expense."
Taxpayer expense. But now that's changed. The reason, in part, that Fairhaven is going to have to do a Proposition 2.5 override. Read between the lines. New Bedford, you may have to do a Proposition 2.5 override. The reason is because a good chunk of the money that used to flow back to cities and towns, after being contributed by the residents of those cities and towns in the form of income tax, sales tax, the other taxes throughout the city, including marijuana, and throughout the towns, is because the money is being funneled to keep illegal aliens, migrants, here in Massachusetts, to impact the census, to give more or preserve more congressional seats for Democrats and more votes in the Electoral College. These are not dumb people. Healey's not dumb. The rest of the Democrat leadership in the House are not dumb people. You got a lot of followers that are kind of dumb, that are going along with a really sinister program that means local American citizens have to give up more of their hard-earned wages to the government because the legislature, the people that we send to Boston, have a higher priority for illegal aliens than they do for your children in public schools. Think about that. Your children in public schools are below illegal aliens in their priority for most Democrats in the House of Representatives and the Senate, quite frankly. So think about that. John Mitchell was here for an hour at 9 o'clock talking all about the lack of local aid. We know that billions were spent to keep them in the hotels with DoorDash and great laundry service. I mean, that's all real. That's all real stuff. And that is what is happening now. Fairhaven is going to a Prop 2.5 override. New Bedford is looking at major tax increases to close holes in the budget. The governor's proposing allowing cities and towns to triple the auto excise tax. If you don't pay the auto excise tax, your license cannot be renewed. For most people, having a problem with a driver's license is the first time they have contact with the criminal justice system. You do not want to get in an accident, God forbid, nobody does, but you don't want to get pulled over or in an accident to find out that your driver's license has been suspended because you didn't pay the auto excise tax, which has the potential of being tripled. It's really, really outrageous. And the money was all paid in income tax and sales tax and corporate and the millionaire's tax was all paid. There's plenty of money up there, but they're diverting it to illegal aliens. They're lawyers. We are literally laying off teachers, going to be laying off police and fire so we can fund the lawyers for illegal aliens. And that's across the board. All the members of this delegation have voted for this malarkey, to quote Joe Biden. 508-996-0. I see you on hold. There's a bunch of you there, but I got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Employee.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
He can't afford. When he gets up under the lights to play his thing, then Harry doesn't mind if he doesn't make the scene. He's got a daytime job, he's doing all right. He can play the honky tonk like anything.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. You're the audience. 508-996-0500. That's how you can get on the program. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hi, Chris. I hope you don't mind me calling back.
No, go ahead.
I wasn't with the mayor. I'm surprised the mayor didn't pick up on that, although I think he was playing stupid, that comment I made about the Zyterian. And it just goes to show you, you know, I think you got a little bit. But then the caller who called in after me really picked up on it.
Yeah, Barry did. Barry picked. I got to tell you the truth. There's a lot going on here when I have the mayor's segment. So I'm managing callers and things like that. That went right over my head, but I get it now when Barry explained it.
Yeah. The other thing is about this house that I've been drilling down on, because I live about 200 yards from that place. Yeah. It's the only abandoned house that's north of Tarkin Hill Road.
Yeah, it's a beautiful neighborhood.
In an area where people... What?
It's a beautiful neighborhood over there.
Yeah, people really take care of the houses, yeah. and the roofing tile is blowing off the place. There's no sense of urgency with the mayor to try to maximize and monetize this city to its full extent. And that's why I would fight tooth and nail against a Prop 2.5 override. Absolutely. And I don't think it would pass. I think it'd be a waste of money if you called it for a special election. They should only do that. I don't think they should do it at all, but if they do, they should do it as a general election vote so they don't waste any money
right.
on running a special election
right.
on that. That'd be a waste of money. But the mayor's into wasting money. Like I said, I really want a full and complete audit in the near future of the Zyterian. And really, what is it benefits? The fact that they signed a 90-year lease, is that correct? I don't know if you know that.
With
the present leadership.
I believe it was a 99-year lease. I'm not, I could be wrong, but anything over 5 years has to get a special dispensation. It's ward commission rulings, things like that, which goes back to the old Star Store stuff. But the... Yeah. I think it is a 99-year lease, basically, yeah.
That's the stupidest idea, because I'm involved with an organization. I sit on a board of directors of an organization that rents a big swath of land off the city of Fall River. And boy, they're tough. And we pay them rent.
Right.
They don't spend a dime maintaining the property. They don't mow the lawn. They don't do any repair work at all. And we pay rent, and they won't give us any more than a 3-year lease. And we had to beg them. They go up every 3 years, and they come up and inspect us. They make sure we're keeping the property clean and neat. That's it's in the lease agreement. And we also have to lend it at will to law enforcement so they can train on that property. So, Fall River doesn't let anyone sign a 90-year lease at all. That's ridiculous. That's because you have a bad leadership in that Zyterian. You can't get them out. If you've got people who are not really working hard to make that an independent and a resource that it supports itself, and you got a bad leadership, how can you get those people out if they got a 90-year lease?
No, it's all good question. So my question, so now we're getting back to what you said about Zeitarian. Is your additional gripe is that you don't see any acts, them bringing any acts that you and other people really want to see. Is that part of your gripe, part of your concern?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the part of the concern is that this city, it has all these, we have the zoo, we have a Zeitarian, we have an airport. Is this city being monetized to its full ability? That's really my main gripe. That we don't need to. I believe that house is represent that house that I speak about that's attached to the St. Teresa. That's a monument, in my view, to the lack of real detailed oriented management in this city. And that's why we could cut. I don't think we could erase the deficit altogether of $18 million. But man, we could take a big bite out of it if this city was managed better, and if people had a little bit more cynicism and a little bit a demand that. You make money from the city's assets. You don't. Not only do we sign the 90-year lease, but we give them what $450,000 a year to maintain the Zeitarian on top of it.
Yes,
right. That's ridiculous.
You're actually paying them.
Yeah, we're paying them not to run a good show. If you get welfare, there's no incentive for you to go out and hustle up work. And as far as I'm concerned. I went on to the Zeitarian website to see if there's somebody coming that I'd be kind of interested in. You know, I'm not interested in the transgender belly dentist from Bulgaria, okay? I'm not really interested in that, okay? Sorry, Mr. Mayor, okay? But I'll tell you right now, this city's poorly managed, and I wouldn't give it another dime if I had my way. And with that, Christy, you're running out of time. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, have a great day. I do. And by the way, I think he's being facetious about the transgender belly dancers from Bulgaria, but I do appreciate his good twist on comedy. 508-996-0500. Good morning. Thank you for holding.
Hey, Chris.
Senator Montigny, how are you?
Good. I just listened for the music, and the last one you played was a great one.
Thank you.
Great callers today. Yes. Some of them interesting. I just wanted to talk about the excise tax for a minute, because I think it's great that you have generated the energy. If you think about it, I mean, you put it on my radar screen, whatever, over a year ago, right?
Yep. Before the governor could get to you, I got to you.
Yeah. Well, she wasn't going to get to me, let me tell you, on that and a lot of things, but that's okay. Now, look, I don't count the votes. They don't put rebels in charge of vote counting, but I want to at least help people rest easier on this one. I don't think you should ever lose your vigilance, and I certainly will keep an eye on it and be on your show telling you immediately if I see a change. But I also don't want people to be led on because people like you and me continuously talk about this. I don't see any chance of it happening. I do think
the other excise tax being tripled.
Yeah, I mean, I do think when I say I don't think, that means, okay, so let's keep an eye. But I don't want people worried. There are people struggling, a lot of people that I represent, and the last thing they want to worry about, some of them who might be late on their current excise tax, is this notion that we should strip a license and registration or withhold it until it's paid. And I've heard municipal officials around the state talk about, well, if we don't have that tool, what? Well, what about if you don't have the tool to drive your car and you're trying to pay your bills? I mean, the government think and speak, I've never gotten, even though I've been there, some would say too long, but this one needs to just die a really unpleasant death. And again, I've pledged on this show and I've pledged privately to my constituents that I'll do everything in my power to kill it. But I don't want to lead people on to think that somehow this is being dangled there and it's likely to happen. I would say there's almost no chance, but that means, again, that I'll continue to pay attention. I will filibuster if I have to. I'll do anything I have to kill it. I think it's one of the more insidious tax increases that have ever been opposed. Although, as you know, I find a lot of tax increases insidious. I voted against the gas tax increase. I voted against the sales tax increase. And it's not because I don't think we need revenues to run things like what you were talking about this morning with the mayor, like local aid, like public safety, like education. Anybody who wants something for nothing, they usually get exactly nothing. So I'm not anti-tax all the time. I voted for the millionaire's tax. and I'm comfortable with it, even though I said to folks, don't lead people on, because it will affect how certain people make decisions about where they reside. Don't lie. Don't quote statistics that don't exist. Have a realistic discussion with the public and say, this is what you get with the money. Hold people accountable. And that's one of the reasons, as you know, that I'm in favor of the audit, voted for along with the 72%, think it's absolutely ridiculous that that hasn't been settled. But people wouldn't feel that way if we didn't just dangle all these tax increases. But the excise tax, I'm here to tell you, I think it's dead on arrival, and I don't even think it will arrive.
Thank you, Senator Montigny. I appreciate it.
Great to hear the show today, Chris.
Thanks, Senator. All right. So Senator Montigny is an early convert. Not a convert. He was an early... I educated him real early. I saw it coming up and got to him, got to Chris Markey, got to Senator Rodericks, guys like that who have real impact in part because they've been there so long and are so experienced that they know how to keep get that stuff out of there, communicate directly with admin and finance in the governor's office. Say it's, you know, don't, as he said, likely not even to arrive. But it's out there and we got to keep vigilant. We got to keep vigilant about it. This hour has been brought to you by the cold beer and the world's best chicken wings at Rose Alley Ale House in beautiful downtown New Bedford. It's going to be a busy night tonight. Chris Markey's having a fundraiser at the Venus de Milo. Ian Abreu having a fundraiser at Wamsutta Club. I'm going to try to be at both. I think I will be at both, at least a little bit. So be a busy night. I actually moved my dialysis so I could go to my friends and support my friends in politics. Of course, Chris is not going back to the legislature. He's going to the district attorney's office, likely, in January. Back to his district attorney's office. We'll be right back. Stick around. Welcome back to the program. You know, yesterday I had Lenny here, Lenny Mills Jr., and we were talking about the district attorney's race, and I inadvertently mentioned that Tom Hodgson was supporting Chris Markey. That's not entirely accurate. It's more my enthusiasm than me being accurate. Chris and Tom Hodgson are they're cousins. And so Tom is staying out of that race. As a good Republican, he can't support a Democrat. But he also cannot support someone running against a member of his immediate family, right? A cousin. So his mother and Chris's dad were brother and sister. So I don't want to leave that out on the table that Tom was in, you know, breaking his oath to the Republican Party and endorsing a Democrat. He's just completely staying out of that race. I've made no oath to the Republican Party. I don't serve as an officer of the Republican Party. I simply regularly vote as a Republican. So I'm free to do whatever I want. And I normally do. As I said to you, I have unenrolled a couple of times from the Republican Party to the unenrolled status to take a Democrat ballot. I did it when my late friend Paul Walsh was running for re-election in the Democrat primary for district attorney against Sam Sutter. So I unenrolled and enlisted as an unenrolled voter and registered as an unenrolled voter and took the Democrat ballot to vote for my late friend now, Paul Walsh. And I think a lot of people are going to do that again to vote for, as a reverse example, say to vote for Sean Oliver. You got to unenroll from the Democrat Party, become an unenrolled voter. Then you can select the Republican ballot in September. And that gives you an opportunity to vote for Sean Oliver, should you like to, for the Republican nominee for lieutenant governor. So anyway, so there's a lot more to talk about. There always is. And we'll do more of it tomorrow here on the program. I will be next Wednesday. I will be at Toast and Jam from 9 to noon. Toast and Jam is a great, great restaurant on Acushan Avenue. I'll be there from 9 to noon broadcasting live. The mayor will join me at 11 o'clock for Midweek with the Mayor. And at 11 a.m. that day, you'll have your chance to go online to Seize the Deal and get a half-price deal for toast and jam. Great deal from Seize the Deal. Should always be checking Seize the Deal. But 11 o'clock next Wednesday.